This is an interesting passage. I remember it from fourth grade Sunday school. I used to like this story until I thought about it when I got a little older and I said, what kind of dad would I have if my dad wanted to do that to me? You think about that. It never says in here, Abraham had to chase down Isaac and hold him and wrap him up and tie him onto the altar. It just said he did it. What kind of son would cooperate like that? Dad, I'm the lamp, aren't I? I'm the one who's going to die. He didn't run. He was obedient. You think about that. That's pretty tough. I always talk about this from Abraham's perspective. But if you think about it from Isaac's perspective, and he says, Dad, I see fire and wood, but where is the lamb? And Abraham's got his eyes looking at his son going, I can't tell you, son, but it's you. But he also says something that clues us in to what's going on. God will provide Himself a lamb. That's what he says. God will make a provision. Now, what I want to share with you is that each person has a motivation or a motive for what they do, and it comes from one of four different areas of our life. We're each a spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental person. Mental is your thinking, how you think. Emotions are how you feel. Sad, happy, glad, angry, frustrated, that kind. Physical is how your body feels. What it needs, if it's hungry, that's a different kind of feeling than an emotion. Or if you're tired or you hurt, you know, your body has a different kind of emotion than your regular emotions of mad, sad, glad, angry, and all those. And then spiritual is the motivation when you're trying to please God, when you're trying to follow your purpose and what God has called you to and what you're created for. And in each person then, one of those motives or one of those motivations is primary for everything you do. Why do we eat lunch? Our body says it's hungry, right? Why do we laugh? Because our emotions are happy. Why do we sometimes come to church and pray and ask God for direction and hope and joy? Because our lives are nothing without Him and we need spiritual direction. And our spiritual side is guiding us at that moment. Then again, if our mental side, we think about something and if it makes sense, we do it. Makes sense, doesn't it? Follow that? Okay. Well, what I want to share with you is Abraham, if you look at his motives, when he's taking his own son up, there's only one that fits. If you look at this, this doesn't make sense. I'm going to go kill my son. That doesn't make sense. If you say emotionally, he hated his son, therefore he wanted... It doesn't say that. It said he loved his son. So he was doing it not out of love. Not out of emotional. And he wasn't doing it physically because he was hungry. He wasn't preparing to make him a meat offering. He wasn't doing that. And he wasn't hurting. So the only possible reason he could have done this is spiritual. But the problem is that God told him to do it, but everything else about him said no. I can't. And there are times in our life when we're just like that. God will say something and our thoughts will go, I can't do that. That doesn't make sense. Why doesn't God ask someone else? Or He might say to you to do something, you say, my body won't let me do that. I can't do that. Do you remember when He called Moses? And Moses said, I can't do that, I stutter. God said, I'll work around your weakness. Just follow what I say. And sometimes we say, God, I just don't feel like it. I'm too sad. Or I just feel depressed. God, why are you asking me to do that? Sometimes our esteem issues are there or other reasons. And we're always arguing, but God says something. He's not doing it because He doesn't understand you. He's doing it to show you another aspect of yourself and His blessing. God wants to change who you are gradually to be more and more Christ-like. I promise you, the day you get saved and you come to the altar, God's starting a work in you that He hadn't finished when you walk away from that altar the first time. I promise you, you still have some bad patterns and some thoughts that the trash needs to be taken out, like our children's sermon. And it also has some things in us that God needs to work on. Some ways and old patterns, and sometimes we have old friends that just don't fit anymore, and things like that God needs to clean up. And when we get face to face with that, we go, God, these people are important to me. I love them. And God's saying, they're destroying you. Whatever it might be, if it's a habit or a friend or a place. And you kind of tell God, you don't know what you're talking about. Abraham, when God told him, he said, let's go. Scripture even says, when God told him this, in the very first verse, it says, told him to go, it says, take now your son, after he called him, and it says, he rose up early the next day and went. He didn't argue. I promise you one thing about God you're going to learn, is when God tells you to do something, it's not early. Did you know that? God's not going to tell you to do something and then say, well, next week I want you to do this. When God speaks to you, He knows you're ready. He doesn't speak His promise and blessing early. He may say, when you are ready, I will bless you. But if He says, I want you to go, that means now. You remember Jonah, don't you? Jonah had the message to be delivered now. And Jonah says, I'm not ready to do that. I'm scared. I don't like those people. All these excuses. And he got kind of down in the mouth, didn't he? The mouth of the whale, that is. But if you understand the way God works in our lives, is God wants us to understand that He knows us very, very well. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so when God calls Abraham, listen to what He says. He says to the people who are waiting for he and Isaac, He says, we're going to go and worship. And we, my son and I, who I'm going to kill, will return. Now how can he say that with confidence when God has told him a thing to do? It doesn't make sense. But Abraham said to himself, He also told me that through Isaac I will be blessed, and the nations of the world will be blessed. So I take God at His word, even if it seems to contradict. God never contradicts in Himself. He will always, always bring to pass what He says. Our obedience helps that come a little quicker. So you see that he has gone up to the mountain. And his son, again, is saying, Dad, where is the land? And we hear Abraham say, God will provide Himself a lamb. Now you look in this story, there's no lamb. No lamb ever shows up in this story. Did you know that? When he's about to strike his son, there's a ram, but not a lamb. A lamb comes later. We know that that lamb is God giving His own son for us. Abraham didn't know that. But he says God will provide a lamb as a sacrifice. But why did God ask Abraham to do this in the first place? What was the reason for it? It says in there that God was tempting him. Tempting him to do what? And that is tempting him to doubt God's own word. When God tells you He's going to do something and all the evidence and everything is contradictory, do you still trust God? Do you still put Him first? Are you spiritually directed? Or do you think, well, God can't do this and that, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to help God. It's kind of funny sometimes. God will tell me to say something when I'm praying with someone, and I'll try to interpret it because it makes no sense to me. I remember one time I was in the hospital visiting a fella in Paducah, and he was going to have surgery the next day. I'd never met this guy before, but one of my members had asked me to go see him. So I went and saw him, and as I was praying with him, The Lord said, he's scared. And I said, I can see that. And I'm praying with him. And he's saying, thanks for visiting after we're done. And I'm getting ready to leave. And he says, he's scared. I said, I know, God. You know, I know. I'm not saying that out loud. But finally, I stopped before I left. And I said, I got to tell you something. And this is probably going to sound crazy to you. Because, you know, I had never had this happen before. But I walked back over to his bed and I took his hand and I shook and I said, God just told me you're scared. And I said, and then I threw my stuff in there. I said, you know, probably something stupid, you know, but God, you know, probably I'm not hearing God, and you know. And I'm throwing all my stuff in. And before I could finish my sentence, the man starts to bawl. And he says, you mean God knows? He said, I'm so scared. I've never been in surgery before. I've never had anything like this. I needed to hear that. Thank you. And so now, when I hear God say, I say that, and I don't add anything. Because God knows us. And He knows what we need to hear, when we need to do it. And His motive for Abraham here was to say, will you be obedient beyond your own love for your son? What is the most important thing to you? Obedience to God's word, or your own desire of your heart for your family? Or is it more important to you to be obedient to God's word or to have friends? What's the most important thing for you? If you follow God, the psalmist tells us that He will give you the desires of your heart. Abraham desired to be the father of many nations, but he was also getting ready to destroy his link to that. But he was doing it at God's word. If you remember the disciples fishing, and they'd fished all night and no fish, and they said, as Jesus passed by, how's the luck, basically? And he said, we've fished all night, we've caught nothing. He says, well, just throw your net on the right side of the boat. And they said, well, Master, we fished all night, caught nothing but at your word. Although we are the skilled fishermen and we know better, and we think this, and we've tired, and we're sick of this place right now, at your word, we're going to be obedient. And they threw it in, and they caught more fish than they could haul in. You see, God knows what He wants you to do, but He wants to make sure you'll follow Him first. No matter how you feel, no matter what you think, no matter what your body's telling you. Sometimes those things get in the way. But in the community of faith, and as a church, sometimes we have to do things that don't make sense to people who aren't in the community of faith. I know one church in Belleville, Illinois, they mortgaged the church and the parsonage and all their land because God told them to build a retirement home to house some senior citizens. Everybody said, that's crazy. There's nobody who's going to live there. And you just don't do it. And they said, but we got this vision from God. We're doing it. If you've never heard of it, it's St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. Now has about 5,000 members and houses about 600 senior citizens. And they're expanding ministry to them. And most of them come to church there that can. And it's from a church that was in the corner of a city that no one saw. There is nothing that you can or cannot do without God's help. And if He directs you, He will bring it to pass. And so when Abraham says, here we go, we will come back. And then when it came to pass, what did he say? He said, God is Jehovah Jireh. That's the first time in all Scripture that word is used. And what it says is, God is the one who provides on a mountain. That God will provide in the midst of your trials in ways you won't know, and He will show you another side of His nature that you've not seen before. I'm sure some of you can tell me times when you were sick and God came and healed you. That God would be Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. It's the same God. It's just another way to see God and understand God. I'm not saying go out and call Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Jireh. What I'm saying is God is the God of the healing. And if you're depressed and God brings you joy, God is the God of your joy. If you need a financial blessing and God gives that, then God is the God of your finances. I don't know about y'all, but God's my accountant. He balances my checkbook better than I ever could. I make mistakes of calculator. But God doesn't miss a penny. And He knows what to do with it. And He provides. So what I'm saying is, the areas of your life that you learn more and more to trust God, He's the God of that for you. And until you're completely and fully surrendered, He's got some work to do. But He will do it faithfully if you'll be obedient. Just let Him have His way. You know what will happen? You're going to get some blessing you never thought possible. Through Abraham's willingness, he became the father of many nations. He became blessed beyond measure. I don't know about you, but I think that's a good deal. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your blessing. We ask that Your heart would be for us and Your life be manifest in us. And as we have gathered here, Heavenly Father, may Your word uplift us, move us out into the world to be a blessing. Amen. As we prepare to sing the final hymn,